is going on, my Ghost Squad? Welcome to Tactical Tuesday. Today is Tuesday, June the 5th of 2018. We've got a great show tonight. We are live, as always, on YouTube and simulcasting, obviously, on gunchannels.com. If you guys by now have not been to Gun Channels and heard about Gun Channels, then please crawl out from under the rock that you reside under. The link is on the YouTube side. Gun Channels is a great community for pro-gun, pro-Second Amendment advocates and activists, where we talk about guns and the gun world and everything in between. Obviously, we don't want to talk about guns 24/7, but we try to. There are 24/7 lobby chats going on at all times, where if you have a question about a gun-related item or anything, there's probably someone over there that can answer it very quickly. A lot of great minds over there that have a lot of vast experience in a lot of different areas of the gun community. So we enjoy it. We call it the water cooler of the gun community. So come on over to Gun Channels. The water is warm. It is wonderful. And people are going to love it. We've got, speaking of the Gun Channels, we've got DT Pfeiffer's over there. Raphael Squibb Ellis is over there. On the YouTube side, you guys are rocking. If you haven't yet, go ahead and say hi in the chat. We cannot see you unless you say something. So if you're new to the channel or new to the chat, please say hello, say where you're at, and all of that good stuff. So we'll go through the room real quick and see who all is out there. You got Grim the Reaper is out there. Garcia M43, who we remember, it's been a while, but we remember him as Kalashnikov 108. Kalashnikov is now Garcia M43. Is glad to have you back. He said he's been busy. He's been gone for a while, but it's glad to have him back. D-Temp's out there. Let's see here. Midnight Range TM says he's first, but he was actually about eighth. It's okay, though. Patriot in the Dark's out there. They're having a discussion on reloading, it looks like. Guitar Man Pete's out there. David Bowling, he says, who are you going to call? Ghost Tactical, that's right. Armament and Axis is out there. What's up, A&A? Let's see here. Yeah, they're having a nice discussion over some reloading stuff. So that's kind of a little out of my thing. Clover is probably a lot better prepared to talk about that, but I don't reload, but it is what it is. Gun Love and Grandpa Stanley's out there. Let's see here. Scrolling down. Early Watch Michigan's out there. What's going on? Roosted. What's up, Roosted? Sandhills. Sandy, I think I sent you a link. If you want it, come on in and check your email. Let's see here. Zippy's out there. Mel the Nut. What's up, Mel Jorge? Gelsma out there. Darth Magnum. What up? Let's see here. Long-time listener, first-time caller, says Patriot in the Dark. Lola May, hello from Georgia. Welcome to the show. Welcome to Ghost Tactical. We'd love to have you stick around. Rich White, what is going on, my man? Let's see here. Sandy, I don't know. Whoops. Let's get out of this real quick. Are you... He's not on the Gun Channel side, so let me know. I think I sent you a link. If not, let me know if you want in. I'll get you another one. Andrew Faulkner, what's going on? Well, let's go through the room real quick. Once again, guys, if you have any questions for the panel or for the chat, there's a lot of knowledgeable people out in the chat. If you have a question for the panel, then go ahead and put it in the chat. If you want it to be read out, go ahead and email at live@ghosttactical.us. I will put this in the chat, and you can send that, and we will read those questions as they come in. Let me get this to Sandy real quick. I think I sent him a link, but I may not have. Sandy. Maybe not. All right, let's go through the room real quick and meet our illustrious panel. We will start with a fellow devil dog himself, Squibb. What is going on, Squibb?
Hey,
live from work. Well, I hear you, and I hear that, you know, if you're busy and you can't answer some of the stuff, I understand, but glad to have you. And
I might just be a little bit slow to the mute button, or if you guys have too much background noise, just mute me, please.
We can hear, but it's nothing major, so it's not a big deal. So, yeah, just whatever you got to do, we'd love to have you stick around if you can. So I know you're at work, but it is what it is. And from Texas, the tactical leprechaun himself, Clover Tack. What's up, my man?
What up, peeps?
Now, what are they bringing up already, David Hogg? Why do we have to bring him up?
Because he needs the attention.
I think we need to treat him the same way we should treat like all mass shooters and stuff, and just don't.
Well, I mean,
mentioning his name and putting his picture out there.
Isn't he mugging for attention the same way the mass murderers are? I mean, he's doing the same thing without committing a crime.
Yeah, and he's grasping. He's reaching and grasping at this point. Oh, big time. So yeah, anything you give him, just be aware you're enabling at this point. There's no doubt.
And he's, like you said, I think he even realizes that his 15 minutes is just about up. And like you said, he's grasping, he's reaching, he's trying to get anything he can for his fame. Because I think that, I don't know if he realizes or not, I think he probably does. I think that even he realizes that he was played for a moment by a lot of different people. And I think he's trying to figure out how to stand on his own two legs now. And I think he's finding it very, very difficult to stay in the public idea, the public light when it's talking about Parkland, especially when we've already had another horrific school shooting that it's kind of taken away. I thought he might be even more vocal and more visible after that or Santa Fe shooting, thinking he would be the poster boy for this too, but it really hasn't happened. So, but yeah, he got, he's searching. He's out there trying to hold on to the fame all he can. Then I'm not going to give him any more publicity than he deserves, which is about that much right there. So, Kamara Hogg charged with being a douche. good. He needs to feel the pain. That's right. We're going to talk a little couple things tonight. We're going to go over the FBI report on active shooters real quick. There's nothing a whole lot new. Basically, what the latest report is it's an amendment to the initial report, which is from 2000 to 2013. What this latest one was just covers 2016 and 2017, so it gives kind of updated numbers in the last couple of years. And so we'll talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk a little bit about a discussion that I had with some people on a forum, and it was as a political debate forum, which I really enjoyed. It's over a lot of different topics, but one of them is obviously that I take care of is I watch is gun control stuff. So you have people from both sides. Asked a couple of them to be on. They denied, go figure, but it's all what it is. And then we'll obviously finish up with the best handgun for beginners bracket. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but basically what I try to do is pick four revolvers, four kind of 9mm semi-autos, four 22 handguns, and then four others, whether it was like 45 or 40 or 380, and go with that. Didn't really seed them, but kind of made them to where they were interesting matchups, and we'll go through that. And obviously that will be what's up, Tina? That will be heavily involved with the viewers as well. So let's see here. Oop. My phone is ringing, and I will not answer that one. So let's talk about real quick about the FBI report. And basically, what this was is it's the latest report of the active shooters. It was basically for 2016 and 2017. It said it focuses on the 50 incidents on an active shooter that represents 21 deaths and 722 wounded. One of the challenges of analyzing the studies was the commonalities. The 221 deaths do come from the three most deadly, or obviously the most vocal or visible. Obviously the 58 in Vegas, the 49 killed in Orlando, and the 26 in the Sutherland Springs church shooting. So of the 221, the vast majority were those from those three. Now, obviously, no active shooting scenarios are good, and we don't want to sit there and say that they're good things. We're not. We're not saying that. But the 221 deaths, and you're looking at, we'll say 86 to 90 of them were, you know, from three of them, three shootings. So basically what this thing basically says is that the previous 2 years had 92 people killed and 139 wounded in 40 active shooter events. Only seven of the reported shootings were school-related. None of them were on college campuses. One of the things that they talk about is the civilians in these shootings. In the 2 years, the 50 of the active shooter scenarios that were out there, eight of them were stopped by citizens armed with guns that either talked them out of this heinous act or shot them or injured them or whatever. But eight of them were stopped effectively by civilians with firearms. Now, before we get going, have you guys, Squib or Sandy or Clover, have you guys read the report? Have you heard about it? Are you familiar with the report from the last 2 years?
No, but when I saw that that's what your show was going to be about, it really piqued my curiosity.
Yeah, Scottsman, what's going on? Have you read? I'm sure everyone's kind of heard about it, but have you read the active shooter report from the FBI?
Not recently. I normally read it every year. I just haven't had a chance this year so far, but I normally do read it every year. Yep.
Yep. Sandy, how about you?
No, I am relatively new to even watching things about active shooters such as that. So I didn't even know there was a report from FBI. I'm here to learn.
We're getting ready to dive in. Clover, I know that you've kind of seen the cliff notes, but how in depth have you kind of gone into it?
I haven't gone into it too terrible. I mean, there are a few things that, you know, in looking that are interesting with the report. So I just kind of skimmed through and, you know, the stuff that caught my eye more than anything.
Yep. Let's see here. I'm going to hide that one. No offense, Jake. I really don't want to talk about that in the chat. Yeah, Rich White out there, he's talking about the bracket already. He says the best gun for beginners, a 2-inch Smith & Wesson 500 mag. If a beginner shoots that and survives, they're addicted. I would say very much so. What's up, JJ? Let's go into this real quick. And basically what it's saying is in the last 2 years, now this is only 2016 and 2017, they're going with active shooters scenarios that were reported and all that in the last 2 years. And there were 50 of them in the last 2 years. Obviously the biggest three as far as the death toll and injuries were Vegas. You have the Orlando nightclub and the church shooting in Texas. Obviously, they're very high profile stuff like the Parkland shooting and all that. These are all involved in the active shooters. But basically what they were saying is there were 221 deaths out of these 50 incidents. 722 were wounded. These do not include the deaths or being wounded of the actual shooters themselves. Let's see here. In 14 cases, the shooters were stopped during an exchange of gunfire with the police. The ambush shooting of the Dallas police officers during a protest resulted in 5 officers murdered and 9 wounded. 3 officers were killed in active shooter response, 2 by the shooter and 1 officer in plain clothes. In the remaining 48 events, police officers stopped 25% of the attacks. Civilians stopped or attempted to stop shooters in 20% of the attacks, and 25% of the civilian security guards are included. The report noted that all interventions by civilians involved firearms and not civilians attempts immediately stopped the offender. But the conclusion from examining these incidents is that good citizens, many of whom are lawfully armed, save lives in active shooter attacks. The report acknowledges that the enhanced threat posed by active shooters and the swiftness with which active shooter incidents unfold support the importance of preparation by law enforcement officers and citizens alike. Now, here's where it kind of gets interesting. This is the implications for the future. It says a 2014 Harvard study said that 20% The 20% increase in the reporting period over the previous two-year period indicate a trend with no expectation that the numbers will decrease. So they're saying that there's no reason to think that the number of active shooters will decrease. Probably will increase. It says, although the media focus continues to be on school shootings, the Prince George and Dallas attacks on police officers is a concern of the public as well as law enforcement. Active shooters in public spaces get associated with school shootings in the collective and fearful mind. The media still gleefully overreport school shootings to include suicides, incidents before school, accidental discharges, and even BB gun injuries in order to highlight our need to panic over issues like gun control. One could argue that ensuring every shooter will be engaged and killed could increase the number of suicidal killers. There were no escapes by perpetrators in the 50 events chronicled in this report. So either they committed suicide, they were killed, or they were apprehended. So the good thing about the way that it happens is at least something's happening with these shooters. They're not out in the public. They're not going out there to probably commit more shooting spree. So at least they were all taken care of one way or the other.
Well, I think that's indicative of a mental capacity in them too. I mean, if you look at that report, only 18 were apprehended, right? The rest of them were put down by civilian law enforcement themselves, whatever.
Exactly.
I mean, they're not living to tell the tale. So what that tells me is the vast majority, if not those even apprehended, because we don't know, have the mentality of, you know, suicide mission. It doesn't matter. They're going to go in and do their evil, and it doesn't matter if they get taken down or not. That's not on their mind because they're
right.
Crazy.
When they're too cowardly even to take their own lives, they'll do the whole suicide by cop thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And the ones apprehended just didn't, you know, the opportunity didn't.
They got wounded it. They chickened out at the last minute or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And the thing is, when they make the news and they've got the body count, even if they don't survive, they're going to be notorious. And the media just encourages this. I mean, not directly, but indirectly, they encourage somebody who says, I don't want to be on this earth anymore, but I want to go out in a blaze of glory, right? And it's awful. I mean, we have this insatiable need to know. And we have a 24-hour news cycle. It's been around for decades. It's been around since the first Gulf War. And it's really hard because people have talked about, well, we can't censor the First Amendment, freedom of the press. You're right. But it's just kind of, I think some of these people that are so miserable that they don't want to be around anymore, they still want to be remembered. It's like, so yeah. You want to be remembered for doing something bad? Really?
Well, Vanessa's out there wanting to know if she's confused. She said, how many murders by firearms are they not active shooters? And no, the answer is no. What they consider an active shooter is someone that what they use for their criteria, I should say, is that someone goes into a public place with the intention of harming multiple people. So you're not talking about home invasions. You're not talking about one-on-one scuffles or something in a parking lot or whatever. This is someone who's going into a public place with a lot of people with the intent of hurting multiple people. Now, obviously, they consider a mass shooting four people or more, but we're not necessarily talking about mass shooting. We're talking about active shooters. But what they're using as their criteria is going to a public place with a lot of people with the intent of harming multiple people. What I want to find interesting, there's another article out here, and it was talking about despite gun control advocates' claims, the U.S. isn't even the worst country for mass shooting. We actually ranked 11th in mass shootings in the world. And the list is kind of surprising. I thought it would be more South American, Central American, because Honduras and Venezuela and Brazil, you always hear about these horror stories of the guns down there in Mexico. But the list is interesting. There's some big countries out there that is, they'll surprise you. The number one is, which is, I wouldn't have thought this, but Norway is number one. Serbia is number two, followed by France at number three, Macedonia, Albania, Slovakia, Finland, Belgium, and the Czech Republic. And the U.S. comes in at number 11, which is very interesting. And now some of these countries, I would maybe that makes sense. But hearing that France and Belgium and Finland and Norway, which you supposedly hear are relatively peaceful countries, seem to have very high mass shooters. At least the death rate by mass shooter is out there. Have you guys ever thought about where the U.S. stands? Because I had a discussion with a guy in a forum, and we were talking about mass shootings and the killing and all that. And I pointed out the obvious stats: 1.3% of deaths in America are caused by a gun. 64% of those are suicide. So we're talking about 0.8% of the deaths in America are caused by gun homicide. And they didn't want to listen. They just sat there. Well, you know, what about we have more and more deaths and killings by gun than anyone else in the world, when it simply is not true. I think Honduras is 6 times more likely to die by gun than the U.S. Now, obviously, some of these countries are not as populated. But his argument was to me, and I want to get your guys' thoughts on this. His argument was, is obviously, if we have more guns control, this is the natural thing, then there would be less deaths. And my argument to him was, is he says we should have more gun control. And I said, we already have a lot of gun control. It's just not either being enforced. I said, but you also have to understand that the vast majority of these crimes are done by people that don't care about the laws. They're not lawful gun owners. They're getting their guns however they get them, but they're not lawfully owned, or they're crazy. You can't stop crazy, and you can't stop criminals from getting guns. So why should I be punished as a lawful gun owner that has followed every regulation that the government has put forward my entire life of being a gun owner? Why should I be punished for something that criminals and crazies do? And he didn't seem to want to talk about that a little bit. So I wanted to know, have you guys had any recently, any good discussions either in person or on somewhere on the internet with the gun control people, especially since the Santa Fe shootings? It seems to be, as soon as we kind of get past it, there seems to be another one. And I want to start, with Clover. Have you had any recent discussions with anti-gunners or pro-gun control or anything like that?
No. We talked about that in pre-chat, I think. No, the last few months I've been frustrated because I've been dealing with idiots that should be on our side. You know, and whether they're farther right than I am or whatever, I've been dealing with a lot of those people more than anti-gunners. And, you know, it all comes back around to, you know, I think we've got to get, before we can combat the anti-gunners, I think we have to try to somehow get our house in order, you know. There's a lot of weirdos that just toe the line of the NRA, or they fear monger every little thing. They use the tactics of the left, but then they champion conservative causes with them. And that's, I don't know. I think we have to be different.
I agree. Sandy, go ahead. Don't worry.
No, I was just going to say it in this report, something that I was going to mention earlier, and I guess this is a good time too, because it's part of the fear mongering. If you'll notice, this was 50 active shooter incidents over 2 years and only 4 school shootings.
That's right.
That's less than 10%. And I'm not saying all kids' lives don't matter. I'm not saying that we don't do everything reasonable that we can do. I'm not saying that, but come on. I mean, it's 4. There's even within that small subsection of active shooters, there's bigger problems.
No, you're right. Clint out there is saying that we have this problem in the U.S. where we don't even talk about what the real problems are when it comes to gun crime. And that's it. I mean, you're talking about gun crime, and you discuss, and then the other side will sit there and say, all this crime. How many, there's probably, I haven't done the homework to find out, but I would like to see a number of how many crimes were committed or gun violent deaths were committed by, until that point, absolutely 100% lawful gun owners. How many of these crimes are committed with guns that are not lawfully owned? And that's the whole point, is the criminals, they do not seem to care because they don't recognize laws. The crazies, they don't care because they don't understand that they're committing a crime. They don't have this frame of mind. So the actual law-abiding, positive role model gun owners of America, no pun intended, but the gun owners of America that will be punished if there are much more regulation and there'd be much more restriction, because what this guy was talking about was taking all firearms and restrict them just like automatic rifles. So he's talking across the board, you're going to have to go through the ATF and pay a tax. And you know what's going to happen is the reason why all of these automatic rifles are so freaking expensive out there is they can't be really manufactured anymore. So whatever is left out there, I think I saw a number that's like 250,000 maybe left in America. That's the reason why they're so damn expensive, because you can't get them anymore. So are you going to take handguns? You're going to take shotguns? You're going to take bolt action? You're going to take ARs and all of these across the board and make them into these regulatory weapons through the ATF or through the government?
And here's the biggest problem with that, and this is just talking from someone in the industry that sells these guns, is you can regulate the crap out of it all you want. But the problem is the more you regulate, the harder it is for the manufacturer, the harder it is for everyone else doing those jobs. So now you're going to put more people out of jobs because they can't afford to be in business. So not only are you going to make it harder for people to own the firearms, you're going to make it harder for the people to manufacture the firearms, to manufacture them, and for jobs. And you're going to lose left, right, and center.
Well, see, and that's the point that people want to talk about. You're talking about commerce, and you're talking about a multi-billion dollar industry that is the gun industry. And you're right. People don't think about, when you start talking about regulation and restrictions, you're not just talking about the actual firearms themselves or the ammunition themselves or the components or the, you know, add-ons, whatever you want to call them. You're talking about people that actually make those products. And so, yes, you were talking about an enormous group of people that will be losing their jobs, and those jobs don't come back. I mean, they're gone. They're not going to come back if you start regulating a lot, because these companies can't invest into their own products because there's no reason to. So you're exactly right, Scotsman. It doesn't just affect the firearm community as far as being able to obtain guns. It affects gun owners, gun shop owners, the manufacturers themselves, all of these companies that have to do with the add-ons, the aftermarket products and all that. We're talking about an enormous industry, a multi-billion dollar industry that would effectively be shut down.
It's just like the last scare that came out. You know, these manufacturers ramped up production, made tons and tons and tons of guns, and then they couldn't sell them. Because that once that fear mongering had disappeared for a little bit, it went back to being normal. And so all these rebates started coming out because they had to find a way to try and sell the guns that they had because they'd made so many. And then now they're losing money because it's rebate after rebate after rebate after rebate.
Yeah, and I think that's you know, we're talking about companies that already are struggling to some extent because gun sales are down. And it is part of the evolution and the ebbs and flow and the cycle of capitalism. You're going to have peaks, you're going to have valleys, but you're going to see companies that literally will close doors. I mean, and they'll never be able to reopen them again. And it'll probably come down, and you'll know more than this, Scotsman, because you're involved in the actual industry with working at a shop. But how many companies do you think there would be, just in your opinion, if they start regulating and restricting all firearms? Would you say that there'd probably be, what, 4 or 5 major manufacturers that'd be able to survive, and that's about it? Or would there be less than that?
Yeah, I would say you'd have maybe five. But on top of that, think about all the shops that are going to end up closing because they can't afford to buy the inventory. They can't afford to run that type of program and sit on it for 9-12 months while we're waiting on that tax stamp. You know, people don't think about all these different things, because when someone buys a suppressor from me, for example, I got to sit on it for 9 months, 12 months, however long it takes for that stamp to come back. Well, it's taking up space in my store, number one. Number two, I can't do anything with it. They can't own it until I say they can own it, until the ATF says they can, that gives me the permission to transfer it. And so I have to keep that in a locked room. So there's more and more problems that come involved with all this different stuff. But at the end of the day, to your point, I'd say maybe five of the top manufacturers would be able to make it, and the rest would end up slowly withering off, or being a part of those five would probably be incorporated.
Probably.
And then a lot of your small businesses, your mom and pop shops, your Ganders and all those, you know, Dicks and everyone else that sells some guns, not black guns, obviously, because they hate those. But anything, any of those smaller shops, they're all going to close. Every one of them. They wouldn't be able to do it.
Big box will probably, or how many of these will probably be owned by the manufacturers themselves now? I mean, would they be involved into the, not only the wholesaling of it and the manufacturing of it, but the actual retail side of it? I mean, there's not many people are going to be wanting to go buy gun shops or purchase or have gun shops, even big box or small ones, just because if everything's restricted and all that, like you said, you're going to have inventory on your shelves anywhere from 9 to up to 14 months at some time, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I literally still have one suppressor sitting on my shelf. It's been there since the day the store opened. And we're looking at almost 18 months, and it still hasn't come back yet.
Now, is that because he probably just forgot or doesn't want it, couldn't afford it, or do you think it's still 18 months for
this come back yet? Waiting on the ATF.
It hasn't come back in 18 months?
Yeah, still waiting on the ATF.
No. I've heard 14. It was the highest that I've heard in the last couple of years. I've never heard an 18-month for a suppressor.
Yeah, we're right about 17, 18 months right now.
That's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Let's see here. Squib or Sandy, you know, if we start talking about restriction of firearms, and we're talking across the board, I don't personally believe that it would happen at the federal level, but at the state level, there's going to be some stuff that, you know, I don't think it'll ever happen. But if it does, at what point, and I don't want to condone this because I think it's crazy, but there's a lot of people that would say, oh, civil war, and we're going to take up arms against the government. Would something like that be the tipping point, in your guys' opinion, if they come back and say, you know what, we're not going to do automatic rifles. We're going to do all firearms are going to be now regulated and restricted, and you have to get a stamp for every single thing. Is that something, do you think that the gun loving populace of America would find is an act of war, possibly?
No,
not enough to make a difference. Not enough to make a difference.
No, it ain't that. They're too lazy. If we can't even get them to get up and get memberships with gun organizations and show up to rallies and stay informed and get out and vote and things like that, do you think we're really going to get them to risk their life or life in prison revolting? No.
And I think that besides, I think you hit it there.
Go ahead. The way they do the regulations, they do a little and a little and a little and a little. So next, you know, they'll want this registered. Then they'll want a tax stamp for this. Then they'll want to have something special where you can only take it here, take it there. Then they'll want you to limit you on how much ammo you can have, like they do in Israel or whatever. And then they'll want, and you know what? People will complain. You might see more and more people join these organizations. You might see more of these organizations putting out their fear-mongering message to make money. And you might, but if this stuff passes, it will pass gradually, and it's because not enough people will fight. And by the time, it's that whole, you know, they took this, you didn't do anything, they took this, you didn't do anything, and then when it came for your stuff, there was nobody left. That'll be what happens. When you get to the point where they literally want everything turned in, that's where you're finally going to get people that are going to, you know, donate the time, donate the money, get involved, do this, and by then it's too late. And I think that we would have a society of people that would either hide their stuff or turn it in. But if there was ever some sort of revolution at some point, it wouldn't necessarily be citizens digging up guns from some hidden cache. It would be citizens overrunning National Guard armories and stealing military weapons.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
yeah. For sure. There's enough veterans out there that know how to use them that it's not you know. So, and I ain't trying to encourage anything. I'm just saying that's. I think it'll happen after everything is gone.
Yeah, there's a good point out there that let's see here. Detent brings up, and he says another issue is the cost of litigation. Well, we already know that enforcing the regulations that are already out there and in place and on the books is not being done. So even if there are quote unquote new regulations, the enforcement is impossible to do. It really is, because, you know, these bureaucrats out there and these politicians are out there creating these laws and creating these regulations, and then they're handing it over to the law enforcement saying, here you go. It's your turn to go enforce this. And the cops are like, you're crazy. If you think I'm going to go to so-and-so's house and ask for his guns, you think you're out of your damn mind. So yes, we're talking about being able to enforce it is one thing, but the cost of litigation is going to be enormous, because if you're going to go after guns, there's going to be lawsuits out the wazoo from anywhere, from the big national organizations to state organizations to local organizations to individual mom-pa's. And you're talking, I mean, you're talking massive amounts of lawsuits. It's going to take an enormous amount of time, effort, and money to I wouldn't say fight, but we're going to try to withstand the argument of gun control. So yeah, there's so many factors that are going to go into gun control that, you know, I'm not saying don't be worried, but I'm saying, guys, we have to understand that we'll take this for instance, the $200 tax stamp. I believe the $200 tax stamp wasn't not a part of the initial 1934 NFA, correct? So $200 in 1934 is vastly different than $200 is today. We're talking about inflation and everything else. So $200 hurt. It hurt big time back in 1934. If they haven't changed that price in the last 80 years, what's that tell you? The government is not interested in controlling as much as people think about regulation of firearms. They're not trying to.
You know, they are looking at raising that to $500, right?
They're looking at raising it, but for 80 years, it's been the same price. So they can look at it all they want, but until they do something, it's been $200 for 80 years. So they've had plenty of opportunities to change that. But what I'm saying is $200 back then hurt, but they haven't changed that to go with inflation. You know what I'm saying?
Adjusted for inflation, about $3,800 today.
There you go. That's what it would be in today's numbers. So $3,800, that hurts. A $200 tax stamp for a suppressor, cool. Where do I send my check to? I mean, you know, so I don't think that they're as serious as they want to make people think that they are about doing a lot of stuff, because if they were, they would have adjusted this at least every 10 years for inflation. So
interesting thing with 1934, and as you bring that up, of course, you know, you had multiple bills that were proposed and eventually all put together and going through committees. We all know how that works, right? But some of the proposals early on was that the tax stamp was a dollar, because this was all about just making sure that stuff, we knew where this stuff was at, right? It was the registration aspect of it. So they didn't want a necessarily monetary burden. Where two things with that. Number one is handguns were actually included in the NFA early on. So, you know, if they were to implement that similar nowadays, where you would have to pay a $200 tax stamp just to get a handgun, I mean, that's what we would be dealing with had that not been stripped. And then the second thing is, which kind of tells you where the government's looking at things, of course, the Attorney General came in back in 34, and they had the $1 thing, and that was on the table. And then the Attorney General started talking about the proposed numbers of these items that were out in the public were like 500,000. And the government said, oh, wait a minute. What is the yearly estimated revenue on this? And all of a sudden, $1 became $200. So it's a monetary racket.
Yeah, I have a hard time calling him Garcia. I'm still going to call him Kalashnikov. Sorry. But he says that he thinks that they want to hurt new gun owners so they can't get more into guns immediately. I think that there's a part of that makes sense to me. I don't think that they're talking about new gunners. I think that they're actually trying to stop people from getting into guns to begin with at all, period.
Right, because the cost is a big hurdle for a lot of people. You look at even what's a high point cost?
150, roughly.
150, and then a box of shells, couple boxes of shells. Now you need to get eye pro, ear pro. Does it come with a case? You know, okay, well then you don't have to buy a case, but you got targets and you got range time if you're at an indoor range and then a cleaning kit. Some states you have to have a safe.
That's right.
A decent Hoppy's cleaning kit is what, $25-$35 for just a small pistol kit. I mean, you're talking about maybe $500 to buy the thing and take it shooting the first time or two. And for some people, that's just way too much. And so, I mean, if you start throwing taxes and fees and annual registration, like a car or having to get a special permit to take it to the target range or to the gunsmith or something like that, it just ridiculous, stupid stuff that the government can think of, you know, and just cook up and enact and sneak it in. And that's just going to be more restriction, more red tape. And then guess what you're going to have? You're going to have a bunch of people who have stolen guns that were cheap. They didn't have filled any paperwork for, and that now they're a criminal, even though maybe before that they would have gone through the normal channels and been a law-abiding citizen. I'm not saying that all criminals start off with good intentions, but I'm saying that there are some good people there that would never commit a crime that if
wasn't forced upon
them? That restrictive, yeah. It would turn, you know, the whole thing. It would turn millions into criminals overnight, you know, that sort of thing. And it's
true.
That's just kind of like the California gun owner that did the registration process and now has 12 felonies.
Well, yeah, but there's a little bit more to that. He did break a few laws. The thing is, though, he tried to do the right thing with one of the guns, and that ended up putting him on their radar. So they busted him, and that's when they found the other things that he was doing. Is probably just better off not doing anything at all and just never letting the guns leave the farm. But I didn't say that.
That's true. That's probably true.
You got to wonder at what point, how close are we to becoming Australia? You know?
Well, and that's something that I brought up to this guy. And he says, you know, look at all of these. And he wanted to keep on saying these countries that weren't third world or anything. He wanted to, you know, I said, look, okay, Australia. And I said, Australia had a mandatory buyback, and their crime rate is as high as it's ever been. So, I mean, you can sit there and try to, I said, you're talking emotions and not facts. And I said, obviously the emotional response is gun control works. Gun control works. It doesn't work. I said, all you're doing is allowing.
You said it earlier, Ghost, where, you know, we're 11th on the list. Well, we're 11th on the list for a reason, because we have so many law-abiding citizens that are gun owners, and that's why we're 11th on the list. We could be number one, but we're 11th because we have plenty of good people that are willing to do it the right way.
Usually when somebody in our community breaks a law, it's because they didn't know. It is an absolute... unintentional, no criminal intent involved. They really didn't know. They trusted somebody who they, you know, thought was a gun person to tell them, or they trusted a cop who didn't know the law, or they knew what the law was 20 years ago, but it's changed, or they knew what the law was in the state that they grew up in, but now they live somewhere else, or whatever it is. And they honestly don't know. That's the people in our community when they actually do break the law. We don't have a bunch of people in our community that are going, I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to rob a bank. I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to go out in a blaze of glory. I'm going to take this thing and I'm going to use it for road rage today. We don't have those sort of people in our community in general.
Yeah. Well, and you're talking about the intent to commit crime. Yeah, you're exactly right. And honestly, we're talking about this being 11th on the list for mass shootings. There is no reason why we shouldn't be number one every year, because I want to say that I saw a number somewhere and do my research today that of the civilian owned firearms in the world, the U.S. owns 48% of them. So we own, the U.S. citizens own half of the civilian owned firearms in the world. So if you look at those numbers, we should be not only number one, but we should be so far and beyond anyone else, number one in mass shootings every year because of the amount of guns that are in this country. And the fact that we're number 11, and we're talking about some of these countries that are six times higher mass shootings than we have, shows you exactly what you were saying, Scotsman and Squibb, is responsible gun owners there's a difference between being a criminal and being a gun owner and being a responsible gun owner. People can own guns. People can own guns and never touch them for years and never even know if they were stolen from their car, stolen from their house, because they own a gun but have never touched it or seen it in years. Responsible gun owners, we know where our guns are. We might not touch them all the time, but we know. We'll go through an inventory of what we have, what we're supposed to have. We know what's supposed to be there. And, oh, by the way, I would say the vast majority of responsible gun owners actually may not shoot them, but they will at least look at them, clean them, do something with all of their guns at least once a year. So they know. They know what they're supposed to have. Like you said, criminals, they don't care. They're going to go find guns wherever they can find them. They'll steal them from wherever they can. Criminals don't care about laws. Crazy people are going to go kill people. They don't think they're breaking laws because they're crazy. So my whole point to this guy was, is why on earth would you allow the populace of America be soft targets? We're talking about gun-free zones in schools. Now you're trying to make the entire country a gun-free zone. Oh my God. Can you imagine the murder rate goes up, the crime rate with people breaking into houses and cars? Would they know that 99% of Americans can't have guns anymore because they really can't afford what they're going to cost?
At that point, only the bad guys have got the guns.
That's right.
You're saying that by the logic of the anti-gunners, that if we have 48% of the firearms and civilian ownership across the world, that by their logic, not by the actual facts, but by their logic, we should be number one in violence committed with firearms, but we're not.
It just ain't so.
Once again, it debunks their beliefs as opposed to our facts.
That's right. And the
Squibb's point earlier about how they do one thing here and one thing there. Look at some of the bills that are out there and some of the things they're trying to pass. Like the latest one that's been going on here in the state I'm in since February is House Bill 4140. I forget.
Is that the assault weapon bill that's BS?
Yeah, it's the assault weapon bill in Ohio. But here's the thing. Before it was the assault weapon bill, it was something to do with freaking natural water. So they take one thing and make it another thing to hide what it is. And they do this all the politics.
You don't want to know how sausage is made, and you don't want to know how bills are made. So that's just the reality of it. I got some funny stuff. Lola May out here. Tina had said that earlier, talking about if she was to talk about her AR-15 and all that. Lola says, what if I identify myself as an AR-15? The liberals would have to respect this deplorable. I think that we should all put down AR-15 as our gender. And see what people start thinking. You write it in there. AR-15. We're an AR-15. Now, the funny thing about...
Wait. Can I be an M1 Garand instead?
Absolutely, you can. No problem. Going back to another article I saw, it's talking about banning AR-15s. That's a nice segue here. It said, some today proposed banning rifles, in particular AR-15s, because they have been used in a number of mass killings. It's important to note, however, that according to the FBI crime data cited this week by the Daily Caller, deaths by knives in the U.S. outnumbered deaths by rifles 5-1. In 2016, 1,604 people were killed by knives and other cutting instruments, while 374 were killed by rifles. But yet, this nasty weapon of war, black assault weapon, is in the center of everyone's target to ban.
Throw this out there too, and this is something that cracks me up as well. So back home, we can't have guns. It's already banned. They already stripped those years and years ago. Now they're trying to ban knives. Completely ban knives because there's so much knife crime.
Do you think that'll stop the crime?
Absolutely not.
Exactly.
It's just like when they took away the guns, it didn't stop the gun crime. There's no gun crime. It's just we have more knife crime because they took away the guns. So they went to the next accessible thing.
Yeah. Vanessa makes a really funny comment. She's under the red flag laws. If you think you're an AR-15, they will ban you from having them. If you think you're an AR-15, then yeah, you probably don't need to have one. You need to go get checked out. You're just going to make it bad for the rest of us. Real quick before we move on, I do want to do a little public service announcement. So let me do this one real quick.
Hey, Ghost Squad, this is Sky. We here at Ghost Tactical would like to continue the trend of becoming more involved in any gun safety and training. We encourage everyone, no matter your skill level, to continuously look for training in your local area. We think that taking a gun safety course every other year is important. We also believe that taking classes and training for self-defense and home defense are extremely important. Make sure to go looking for classes and training opportunities when you can. This not only helps you become more proficient with your firearm, but it helps support your local instructors and Second Amendment community as a whole. Back to you, Ghost.
Well, isn't that sweet? Getting the old daughter involved in the broadcast, it's great.
How awkward is John Z's
been? John Z's got a new job, so he's been very, very busy. What were you going to say? Sorry about that.
Never mind. I was just going to ask, how awkward was that for your daughter to say back to you, Ghost, and not Dad, or
it
something
was
like that?
Really interesting, because it was one of those things where she didn't want to say back to you, Dad. She thought that was even creepier. She didn't want to say.
No, tell the truth. Around the house, she calls you Ghost.
No. You know, she calls me a lot of things, but Ghost is.
I bet you make everybody in the house call you Ghost.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, we're running at an hour, and we were going to get to the bracket, but I think we might have to hold this one off, because I think I've got a 16 gun. I don't know. What do you guys think? Do you want to do it now, or do you want to cut it short in an hour? I think the bracket will probably take us another 15, 20 minutes to get through. Do you want to do that, or do you want to do that for a separate time? I'll let you guys and the people out in the chat decide on what you want to do. I have no problem either way, but I've got a 16 gun bracket for the best handgun for beginners, which could be a fun one. Do you guys want to do that, or do you guys need to get out of here?
I'm good either way.
I want to do it, but I kind of want to join up with Night Strike for a change, because I've been ducking out on him a lot.
All right. I tell you what.
So if you do it, that's cool. I'm just going to probably go join him.
Yep, I hear you. We'll go ahead and do this. We'll start it, and we'll go from there. And we won't take that long. We'll do the voting real quickly. Once again, we're doing the best handguns. I've got four revolvers, four kind of 9mm, four 22s, and four others. I will, real quick, I will show the bracket. I will screen share the bracket. Oops, here we go. So here is the bracket right here. So we're going to go real quick with the Smith & Wesson 686 versus the Walther PPK. 686 versus the Walther PPK. So we're going to go with the crowd right now. And you guys have 15 seconds to vote. 686 or Walther, and it starts now. And we're going to go the gun channels. There is no one over there talking, so we'll just do this. So 686, PPK. The Breda 92 is not in this particular matchup. And last vote right there. Looks like the 686 takes the viewers. So let's run through the panel real quick. Let's start with Scotsman this time. 686 or the PPK?
You even have to ask. 686, maybe.
I have to ask, yeah. I kind of know, but I actually do officially have to ask. Squib, 686 or the PPK? Or Sandy, go ahead.
I'll vote 686 on that.
All right. Clover?
686.
All right, so that I was going to vote the 686. Squib, did you have a vote for the 686 or the PPK? He might be AFK. All right, so we're going to move on with the 686. The next matchup is the CZ-75 versus the Smith & Wesson M&P 22. So the CZ-75 versus the M&P 22. So you can say whatever you want to, and the voting in the chat starts now. CZ-75 or the Smith & Wesson M&P 22. We're going to go with for about 15 seconds, and it looks like, oh, CZ 3-2, 4-5, 6-7. Give about 5 more seconds. And the CZ runs away with the chat vote. So let's start going backwards, and we'll start with Clover this time. CZ 75 or the M&P 22?
Easy. CZ.
Yeah. Okay. Sandy.
I'm going to say 22.
Okay. Squib.
CZ-75.
Okay. Scotsman.
CZ, baby.
There you go. And I was going to go with CZ as well. Looks like Tack Daddy's pissed off at us, and he's going live doing not a bracket, which I think is hilarious. So when this is over, go troll the shit out of him. Let's see here. So the CZ wins that one. The next matchup is Glock 19 versus Smith & Wesson 642. Glock 19 versus 642. And viewer starts now. Glock 19 or the Smith 642. This could be interesting. I don't think it really will be, but it could. Sandy's out there voting also. I love it. Oh, it's kind of, it's, yeah, this is what I thought. This is what I thought. All right. 5 seconds. There you go. Glock 19 is going to take that viewer poll, which, do we really have a doubt? This one might not be very difficult. We'll start with Scotsman. 19. Well, I know what you're probably going with. 19 or the 642.
642, baby.
There you go. All right.
642.
All right. Sandy.
I've got enough love for the Glock for me and Scotsman. So Glock 19.
All right. I don't know, Clover, Glock 19 or the Smith 642?
If it was up against the Smith with a hammer, it would be different. I'm going Glock.
I'll throw in a hammer.
And I'm going I'm going Glock 19. So the Glock 19 will move on in this particular.
Rigged. Ball. Rigged.
It is rigged, no doubt. Now, this one could be interesting. Talk about two pretty incredible guns and historic guns. The Ruger Mark IV and the SIG P226. This could be an interesting battle right here. So,
which Ruger Mark IV? Any Ruger Mark IV?
It's on the platform. It's going on the platform, yeah. Okay. There's just too many of them to really go through. But we'll just go the Mark IV platform for beginner shooter versus the P226. And let's go now. So they're saying it's rigged, and that's fine. So the Mark IV, man, the Ruger is getting some love. And here comes a 226 nuts. No pun intended. Ruger, SIG,
George
Ruger, SIG.
When we need him.
Exactly.
He's in Tulsa dropping dynamite from biplanes.
What?
All right, you about 5 seconds. And there you go. Now, Clover, can you count the Mark IVs for me? Because I think it's going to be close. I'll count the 226s, but can you count the Mark IVs for me? Because I think it's going to be close.
I'll count the bazooka votes for you. There's one.
Right, Bazooka versus Panzerfaust.
I got 7 for the SIG. I don't think Clover heard me about counting, so I'll count it real quick.
10 for the Ruger.
Oh, 10. So 10's going to – so the Mark IV will take the fan voting. So let's start – let's go with Clover. Ruger or the SIG?
You know, that's like the Mark IV is going to be like number three probably on any top 522 list. But for beginners over the SIG, yeah, Mark IV.
Sandy, Ruger Mark IV or the SIG P226?
I'm going to say Mark IV just because of the fact that it's – that 226 is kind of hard to wrap your hand around for smaller people.
Yeah, yeah. Squib?
226.
All right. And Scotsman?
Normally, I'd say probably the Ruger, but I'm going to go 226.
Okay. Ruger's going to take it because that's my vote as well. So that's going to take the Ruger, the Mark IV. Like I said, I'm not a big 22 guy, but even I've shot a Mark IV, and I think even I knew what a Mark IV was a long time ago. So for a beginning shooter, I think that's probably a really wise choice for someone to look into the platform.
With the Mark IV, you've got several options because
right.
Opening up just for the four because you've got the light version, which can really help. And then you're also talking about with the Mark IV, the ease of the takedown and everything now.
Yeah.
That Mark IV makes cleaning easier and all of that. If it was a beginner, man, the older Rugers are a pain in the rear to take down and clean and all that for new people, I think.
Yeah.
Now, just for the sake of argument, can I interject something? And I'm not trying to start something, but you guys know me. If I'm taking a beginner out shooting, I'm not worried about teaching them how to field strip, how to tear it down, clean it, any of that. That'll come later, and I definitely do want to teach people to do that. But the ease of taking it down is not what I'm considering when I'm looking at these guns as far as for a new shooter, I guess.
It is when you take the new shooter out, and then you're the one stuck cleaning the thing.
Indeed.
Right, right.
Been there, done that too many times.
All right. I will definitely concede that one.
All right. So the next one's going to be this is going to be a good one too. The Browning Buckmark, which I pretty much know where Clover's probably, he's going to have a tough time with this one. The Browning Buckmark versus the Beretta 92. Browning Buckmark versus the Beretta 92. And the viewer voting can start now.
I thought you said the 92 wasn't on the list.
What's that?
It was on the list, but the first option that was out there. Someone tried to call the 92 earlier.
Yeah, he tried to call the 92. It wasn't in that matchup. It's on the list, but not in that matchup. Oh, I think he was going to call it in like the...
Gotcha. You did that just to annoy me, didn't you?
I did. Buckmark or the 92.
Not going to work.
I think you know where I'm going to go with this one, so I'm just going to shut up.
All right. Man, I tell you what, you got 5 seconds. And that's the last vote. One. I'm going to give Keith one just because he's right there at the buzzers. I'll count Keith's. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 for the Beretta. And you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Ooh. It's tied.
7-7. It's tied. All right. Well, we're going to hold that in the back of our mind and see how the panel goes. And if we have to do a tiebreaker, we will do a tiebreaker out in the chat. So let's start with Scotsman. Let's go ahead and have it.
92, man. 92.
Yeah. I have to ask, Squib, 92 or the Buckmark?
92.
All right. Sandy.
I don't want to take away anything from the Beretta, but I'm voting Browning.
That's fine. That's fine. Clover.
That 92. I'm fine. No, if you're talking beginner shooter, that 92 is just, you know, you don't put little kids on a 92. You're talking about the grip. We were talking about the P226. Somebody brought that up earlier. The 92 is a fairly large grip on the 92.
What if this new shooter's got big hands?
I don't know. I'm a little guy. Yeah, so I assume everybody else is.
Not everybody's Chris with little girly hands.
You know, I'd be Hickok 45. Dude, give him a 92.
All right, so you're going Buckmark?
I go Buckmark, yeah.
All right. I am going to go the 92. I think obviously that's something that, you know, the 92 is a great gun in a lot of reasons, but it does, you know, it gives them a little bit of power, but it's going to help them a little bit too. Like I said, it might be for smaller hands, it might not be for the average person. I think the 92 is going to be able to be handled pretty easily.
You're right, it's for the above average person.
Yeah. So the 92 has 3 votes in the panel. The bookmark has 2. So if we did a tie, it'd be 3.5 to 2.5. Is that how you guys see it?
So the 92 wins.
The 92 is going to win. all right. The next one is going to be the Ruger LCP versus the Colt Detective. Ruger LCP 380 semi-automatic versus the Colt Detective.
These are some pretty damn awesome matchups. So good job.
They are some good ones. Yeah. And that's the thing about it is they're all great handguns. In my mind, all 16 of these guns are wonderful for any beginner. It just depends on what kind of you like revolvers. Do you like the 22? You know, we've got some 380, some 45s coming up, you know, 9mm. So they're all wonderful guns. It's just going to be depending on what you like and what your hand size is and all that other stuff. So LCP is, beating the crap out of the Colt. Colt Detective Casino, not the Cobra, the Colt Detective. All right, that's the last one. All right, I want to give Williams in because he just came in, so he's going with Colt. I'll count the Colt if someone can count the LCPs, if you guys don't mind. Let's see here. And Vanessa wants to know, why are you comparing a 22 with a 9mm? I'm trying not in the initial stages. I don't want a 9mm going against 9mm. I don't want 22 going against 22. I don't want revolver going against revolver in the first round. I wanted to kind of split it up to where everyone has an equal chance. You don't have to pick between revolvers or whatever in the first round. So you'll start seeing some different matchups in the following rounds. But the first round, I wanted to do that.
You got 8 on the LCP.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 4. Okay, look at the LCP is going to take the fan vote. LCP gets 1. And let's start with, let's start this time with Clover. Clover, LCP or the Colt Detective? All right, we'll go with Sandy. Oh, there you go.
I'm sorry. I'm on my mute button. Yeah, Colt.
I go with the Colt. All right. Yeah, that's a great gun. Sandy, Colt Detective or the LCP?
I'm going to say, you know what? I just left and just came back and in the side chat, I was going to say LCP, but I'm going to say Colt Detective.
Okay, there you go. There's no wrong answer. Squib, LCP or Colt?
I really like Rugers, but I have never shot a Colt handgun that I didn't like, so I'm going with the Colt.
You go. Scotsman.
Coming from a Smith & Wesson guy, I'm going Colt.
Yep, and I'm going to go Colt as well. I'm not a revolver guy, but that's one of the few revolvers that I could actually see myself one day if I ever wanted to. But that's a gun that I actually love the feel of, so I'm going to go Colt as well. So
the Colt, is this one of the older Colts, or is this one of the new things that this – building now that's not the same?
No, not the Cobra. I'm talking about the old actual Detective, the old Colt. The Cobra, no. I mean, those aren't bad, but I'm talking about, you know, the historical Colt Detective, you know?
I stand
on. All right, so this next one is going to be, I don't think it's going to be much of one, but it could be for, remember, we're talking beginner. I'm going to go with the 1911 versus the Colt Woodsman. 19, we're going to have 45 versus the 22. So a 1911 versus the Colt Woodsman. And we're going to start the voting now in the chat. 1911 versus the Colt Woodsman. 1911's got a couple, it's got an early lead. Woodsman's finally got some love out there by Sandy, but 1911. Yeah. There's some 1911 love out there. 5 seconds. It really doesn't matter at this point. 1911 is going to take this pretty handily. So let's start in the panel. Scotsman, 1911 or the Woodsman?
1911.
All right. Squib, 1911 is Colt, Colt Woodsman?
1911.
Sandy?
Again, this is just like the Beretta one. I don't want to take away from the 1911, but I'm going to say for a beginner, Woodsman.
Okay. Clover?
Yeah, Woodsman.
Yeah. I'm going to go 1911 just because I think that the Woodsman is be a great one, but I think for the 1911, I think that if they can handle it, then that is a very good one, because if they can handle that one, they're going to be able to enjoy firearms down the line. So I'm going to go 1911, which is surprising because I'm not a 1911 guy. So
you didn't say what caliber the 1911 was in, did you?
Well, no, I didn't, but I think it was pretty much. I did. I said you have a 45 versus a 22. So.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Even then, 45. It isn't that bad, but yeah, I mean, you get 1911 and 22 long rifle.
That's right, but you know, you talk about a 1911, and I think that you know the good thing about the 1911 grip for a lot of reasons. It seems to be a relatively easy grip for people to learn how to actually grip a handgun with. So. That being said, I think it'd be all right. Now this one could be interesting. Ruger LCR, the revolver. Ruger LCR versus the M&P Shield. And we're not going to go with the Shield and caliber. We're going to go with the Shield as a platform because the Shield itself doesn't change the dynamics of the gun depending on the caliber. The Shield is basically the same gun depending on the barrel size. But the Ruger LCR versus the M&P Shield, which could be really, really interesting. I'm actually kind of worried about this. So let's go now with the viewer voting. Shield or the LCR, which is, yes, the LCR comes in multiple calibers as well. So we're going to, this could be close. This could be really, really close. I'm going to give you about 5 more seconds. 3, 2, 1.
All right, I'll count the LCRs. You want to count the shields?
Yeah, I'll count the shields. All right, here we go. 1, 2. I've got to where my word says last, I've got 12 shields.
I have 10 for the LCR.
Okay, so the Shield's going to get the fan vote. Let's go back in here. Who did I end up with? Did I end up with Clover or Scotsman last round? Let's do this. Scotsman, we'll go with you. Shield or the LCR?
I'm going to go with the Shield.
All right. Squib, how about you?
I know a lot of people carry the LCR, but one of my subscribers has a Shield, so I'm going to go with the Shield.
There you go. There you go. Sandy, what about you?
I carry a Shield, and that's why I'm going to say LCR for a beginner.
You going LCR for a beginner?
I am going to go LCR.
Okay. Yeah. No, no.
If anyone wants to talk about that later, we'll move along with the record right now.
No, I'm off. Like I said, there's no wrong answer here. Clover, LCR or Shield?
I'm not beholden to anybody. LCR.
There you go. I think everyone knows I carry a Shield. But I'm going to say this. For a beginner, I do think that LCR is a little bit probably easier for a beginner to understand the workings of a gun, being a revolver and different calibers you can get it in. So I'm actually surprisingly, which is crazy to me because the Shield's one of my favorite guns of all time, but I am going to go LCR for a beginner. For a beginner, I'm going to go LCR. So that brings it to 3-3. Is that correct? Yep, there's 5 of us in here, and that. So it is 3-3. How do we decide? How do we decide a tie, guys?
We need to pick one person in the side chat. One person.
And whatever they vote for?
Whatever they vote for.
All right. So I'm going to put this one out here. I'm going to go... let's see here. Let's do this. We'll do that person right there, okay? So, what I want for you to do is you've got about 10 seconds if you're out there, and go ahead and re-vote and just put Shield or LCR, and this person, we're looking for one in particular to vote, and whatever this person goes with is the winner. So, vote now. Shield or LCR? Shield or LCR? What if this person isn't here anymore? I'm not seeing this person vote. So, that's interesting. That kind of backfired, didn't it? Huh. All right, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to pick a number from the top on the side chat. Scotsman, will you, of the people that just voted the last time, that's the number right there. The number is 6 from the top. Will you see what the 6th vote from the top is?
Hey, there she is. She says Shield.
Oh, Tina, is there Shield? Tina, you are our tiebreaker, and she says Shield. So the Shield moves on. All right, so the Shield moves on. All right, we're going to try to move these pretty quickly now. All right, second round. You've got the Smith & Wesson 686 and the CZ-75. The 686 versus the CZ-75. Voting is now open. 686 or the CZ-75. Remember, we're talking handguns for beginners. Handgun for beginners. No worries, Tina. You're good. Let's see here. It's interesting. I'm really not. He said rigged. Patriot says rigged. You got about 5 seconds.
Patriot says both. Ain't even got a count.
Takes it pretty, huh?
Ain't even got a count.
Nope. It's the 686 gets the viewer. So 686 versus the CZ. 686 gets the viewer. All right, so Clover, what you say?
686, of course.
686. I think Sandy went over. So, Squib, now we have it on numbers. That's perfect. Squib, what say you? 686 or the CZ?
CZ.
CZ. Scotsman.
So, you know I love both.
I know that.
But I'm going to have to go with the 686.
And I am going with the 686 as well. So that one, the 686, which is, in my eyes, a relatively mild upset, if I want to say so. I thought this, the 680, the CZ love was strong. But in my eyes, that's a mild upset. And it was a 4-1 vote. So interesting. So the next one is the Glock 19 versus the Ruger Mark IV. Glock 19 versus the Mark IV. Voting starts now. Glock 19 or the Ruger Mark IV. For a beginner, what say you? G19 Mark IV. Let's see, Glock 19. Oh man, it's kind of back and forth. About 5 more seconds. Abrams tank says Midnight Range. That's pretty funny. And there is the last one right there. Scotsman, you want to get the I won't make you count Glock. I'll let you do the Mark IV because I know it'd kill you to have to count Glock.
Already so, counted.
What, Glock or Mark IV?
Mark IV. I ain't counting fucking Glock.
All right, here we go. Let me count the Glocks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I have 13 19s.
Damn it. I get 8.
You get 8? All right. So the Glocks take the viewer poll. So let's start with you. Do I have to add? Actually, I have to ask you, but how many times would you like to vote for the Mark IV? as many as you can.
I'm going to go with 10.
Yeah, right. All right, Squib, 19 or the Mark IV?
This is for a newbie. Do you want him to want to keep shooting, or do you want him to go, nah, I think I'm done with this? Give him the Mark IV. Don't give him no Glock.
Sandy's back. The Glock 19 or the Ruger Mark IV?
Well, Squib's right, but not for the reason he thinks, so Ruger.
Oh,
Deck okay. up grip angle, man.
Clover, 19 or the Mark IV? This is tough for you, I think, isn't it?
Man, that sound said it all, didn't it?
It's not really. I had no love for the Ruger Marks. I really don't. God, new shooter though.
Yeah,
Mark IV. I hate to say all right.
That's all right. No. I'm going with the 19. But the Mark IV moves on with a 4-2 victory. So the Mark IV moves on to the semi.
Woo, baby.
So you're saying the Glocks are out? All right. So this next one is the Beretta 92 versus a Colt Detective. Beretta 92 versus the Colt Detective. Voting starts now. Beretta 92 versus the Colt Detective. I love how Sandy's out there. I think what he's doing is he's voting for one in the chat and voting for one in the panel to even it out.
I love how these matchups are ending. It's awesome.
It is. It's great. Man, this is a good one.
Sandhills is just... He's just getting the voting model from the Democratic Party.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, voting in multiple districts, you know, dead people voting, yeah. Stuff like that.
The Russians. It's
a loophole.
It is a loophole. All right, voting is ended. Exactly. Hey, Scott, so you want to get the Colt and I'll get the 92? One... Two,
three,
four. Both crap for a new shooter. That's not a bad argument. Seven.
I got 11.
I got 9 for the 92. So we've got the 92 and the detective. So the detective gets the fan vote. Clover, Beretta 92 or the Colt Detective?
Colt.
Okay. Sandy.
I'm hard pressed to pick any auto over revolver for a newbie, so Colt.
Okay. Squib.
92.
Scotsman.
As much as I love revolvers, I'm sorry, but 92 wins this one.
It does for me as well. 92 for me. So, once again, we have a tie. So, what I'm going to do is on the internal chat, let's go. If someone can look up the number, the fourth from the bottom, from where I said stop or last, the fourth from the bottom, that will be the tiebreaker. So, 1, 2, 3.
That would be Patriot in the Dark.
And that's a Colt Detective. So the detective moves on over the 92. It's a pretty good one. This one could get really bloody here. 1911 versus the M&P Shield. All right. The 1911 versus the M&P Shield. This could be really fun. Let's go ahead and the voting starts now. The 1911 versus the M&P Shield. What say you? 1911 And the shield. Uh-oh. 1911 is charging out, but the shield's starting to get some love. All right. We'll go about 5 more seconds. And there you go. Einstein says the shield because of 1911 is ridiculous for new shooters. All right. I'll count the 1911s if you want to get the shields. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You got 12 1911s.
I got 6 shields.
All right. So let's start with you this time, Scotsman. 1911 or the shield?
I'm going to go 1911, and I'm also going to jump out of here with that. I just got a text message from someone else, so I'm actually going to be jumping and doing a live stream. But
Okay.
Invite, but hey, 1911 will be my vote.
You got it. Squib, what say you?
1911.
All right. Sandy.
Whoops, how about if I unmute and then talk?
It's all right.
We established the 45 has, or the 1911 has to be in 45, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then I'm gonna, oh man, that's a dilemma. Shield.
Okay. Clover.
Do I even have to vote?
Yeah, actually you do.
If you could go, pass this on to Patriot.
Yeah, you could pass it on to Patriot.
I'm just gonna go with it. I'm just gonna go with the chat. What did they say? 1911.
They won 1911.
Yeah, okay. I agree all with right. the chat.
So 1911 does win it. 1911 moves on because I'm gonna go shield. But the 1911 does go with. So we're down to our final four, guys. So the first matchup: Smith and Wesson 686 versus the Ruger Mark IV. 686 versus the Mark IV. And the voting lines are now open. 686 revolver versus the Mark IV 22. And let's see what happens. Oh. The Mark IV is hanging in there, but the 686 is pulling away at the last. Right there. So 686, it looks like, gets the... the fan vote. So, Clover, 686 or the Mark IV?
This is where Ruger and I officially part ways, and I'm going to go take a long, nice shower for the votes I've had to give it.
So, 686 then.
Yes, sir.
Sandy, 686 or the Mark IV?
I'm still going to say Mark IV for a newbie.
Okay. Squib, 686 or the Mark IV?
686.
And I go 686 as well. So the 686 moves on to the championship. Now, the last one. The Colt Detective versus the 1911 for a beginning shooter. Colt Detective versus the 1911. The voting lines are now open. 1911 versus the Colt Detective. Two, 3-1, 3-2, 3-3, 4-3, 4-5, 4. Uh-oh, 1911 is starting to pull away. Got about 5 more seconds. And the last. I want to go ahead and give Midnight, because I think his came on about the exact same time. So we'll count Midnight's, but I still think the 1911. Looks like to me the 1911. Does it look like to you guys we need a count? Or it looks like to me the 1911 wins it relatively handily.
I think you're right.
All right, so the 1911 is going to get the fan vote. Scotsman. Or not Scotsman. Squib, what say you?
1911.
All right. Sandy.
Detective. detective with light 38s.
There you go. Clover.
Colt.
And my vote is the Colt detective as well. So
wait, he
detective,
just said Colt. He could have meant a Colt 1911.
Well, that's true, but that's yeah. Technically, you're right, but I think he meant that. Did you mean the detective or the 1911?
The pattern is full.
That's right. So this is interesting. This is very interesting, guys. So our final, our championship for the best handgun for a beginner are two revolvers. I don't know if that really surprises a lot of people, but it is the Smith & Wesson 686 versus the Colt Detective.
Smith & Wesson
686 versus the Colt Detective, and the voting lines are now open. What are you going to say, Clover?
Two revolvers. I said, as it should be.
For a beginner, I don't necessarily disagree with that, even though I'm a revolver guy. Holy cow, the 686 is damn near sweeping this thing. Oh, we got finally got a couple Colt votes. Let's 5 more seconds. I don't think I need to count. The 686 is going to get the fan vote. Clover, what say you, the detective or the 686?
The detective is a fine revolver, but there was some chatter out there in the chat about, you know, frame size it being small, and with the 686 right. You can get around that. So 686.
Okay, 686. Sandy, 686 or the detective?
I say 686 because even with 38s, it's going to tame recoil better. That extra weight.
I hear you. Squib.
Detective.
All right. I am going to go with the 686 myself. So that is going to make the Smith & Wesson 686 tonight's winner. We want to thank everybody for voting out there. Thanks for my panel to do that. I will be posting the bracket, the filled out bracket, on Instagram and Facebook and all that stuff probably in the morning. You'll see the full bracket, but thank you for everyone for doing that. I know that Night Strike and Ellis are at Night Strike's house shooting and grilling out. So that's why we kind of decided, I forgot about that when we decided to go, but I wanted to go a little bit long because they're not going to have a show. I don't think they might go live here in a little bit, but they're not going to really do a hit or miss. So thank you for everyone for sticking around. Before we go on, I want to go through the panel first, and I've got a couple announcements that are really interesting and really cool. So stick around for that. But I want to go through the panel first right now. And let's start with Squib. Squib, you got anything going on for content on YouTube or Instagram or anything like that?
I posted an unboxing video today. I got a couple other videos I got to do a little editing to and release. Nothing special, nothing great. As usual, I'm weaseling in on people's shows, you know, like this show tonight. So
we enjoyed having you. You're always, always welcome. Sandy, what's going on in your world?
Oh, you know, trying to juggle full-time job, part-time job, and YouTube stuff. So videos come whenever they come. There's no real rhyme or reason. Sometimes I'm driving and bored, and I just go live, and other times I post something up. I've got a few things that I need to get up, so just keep an eye out. Whatever I post, I'll try to get up on gun channels on Facebook and Instagram, too.
There you go. Yeah, go check out Snowy North Gunslinger. I'm sorry, geez, Sandhill Shooter. My goodness gracious. Go check out. Well, go check both of them.
Lots of people that start with an S on gun channels, yeah. So take your pick.
Go check them both out. Hell, I'm
Snowy North.
I'm a little punch drunk. I haven't had a drop to drink, so. is Travis going to have Caliber Corner this weekend? Do you know? Okay.
Yes, so the subject is hunting rifles.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so go check out Caliber Corner because Sandhills is usually on that. Squib jumps in there pretty much every weekend also. So you can go check them out on Caliber Corner, but check out their channels, their videos, their own live streams, their own videos, all of that. And Clover, what say you? What do you have? Anything? I mean, I know that you're struggling to get content out there and live streams, but are you getting, is it becoming a little bit easier for you to get stuff out there now?
Right. I don't know. It should get a little easier now that I actually have some AC that about to have work. That helps. Yeah. Mel out there was talking about a Ruger GP100. Something interesting about that. I got an email earlier today. Our club just got they wanted the FFL information. And they're sending us a GP122 for the club. So I will have one of those here hopefully in the next couple of weeks to play with. That'll be cool. Tomorrow is the bracket extravaganza continues.
Yeah, what is tomorrow?
Tomorrow is week three into that. It'll be a five-week bracket thing, but tomorrow is week three, and that is best youth 22 pistol. So,
I bet you there would be a couple that we saw tonight might be on that list.
Oh yeah, definitely, without a doubt.
Yeah. As far as for me, I do want to go and do a real quick, and we'll give you the link to the drill of the month for June. It is out there. It is El Presidente. Go check it out. It's a modified El Presidente, but when you go there, if you want to download the target, it is in the description. The link to that is in the description. I do want to make an announcement. G and I have been talking about doing a collaboration with the Drill of the Month, and we're going to start it as of right now. Basically, what it is I will be posting the Drill of the Month on my YouTube. It's also going to be on my Gun Channels page, and it's also going to be on there. I think it's called Shooter Dash Challenge or something like that. He's got a shooter challenge page on Gun Channels. I'll get that exact link for you. He's going to put it over there. And this is for Gun Channels members only, this part of it. Anyone can do the Drill of the Month, and I expect the video responses to be awesome. But for Gun Channels members only, we're going to start doing a thing where it's a revolving circular contest. It's not for a calendar month. It's not for here. It's if you submit your video response on Gun Channels and you happen to win that month, we'll have a committee on who's going to win that month. The first person to win six different Drill of the Months. So if you're the only one posting, then you will win that month. So just remember that. The first person to win six Drill of the Months in a 12-month cycle, doesn't matter which 12 months it is, in a 12-month span, if you can win six Drill of the Months, you will receive a free gun. And I believe the first one is going to be, I'm not exactly what model, but I think G said a Ruger of some sort. But you will receive a free gun, free of charge. On top of that, you will also receive ammo for that particular gun and a holster for that particular gun. So the prize package for the Drill of the Month on the Gun Channel side is going to be remarkable. So if you're not a member at Gun Channels, go sign up. It is free to sign up at Gun Channels. So if you want to do the Drill of the Month, you can do it on mine, YouTube. But if you also want to do it the Gun Channels thing, then we're going to do that. It's going to be a rollover schedule for 12 months. If you can win six Drill of the Months in a 12-month span, the first person that does that will win a free gun, ammunition for that gun, and a holster for that gun. So let the games begin. So I'm really thank you to G-Webs. G and I have been talking about that for a little while, and we've been wanting to do a collaboration with Drill of the Month, and I thought this was – he came up to this, and he was like, yeah, let's do this. And so I'm really, really excited. If you want to win the gun and the ammo and the holster, you've got to be a member of Gun Channels. It is free to sign up on Gun Channels. So go check out. I'll put it over here in the chat. www.gunchannels.com. Go check out Gun Channels. And we're really happy. And for everything that G-Webs does for the community, one of the biggest things that he has done is created Gun Channels for us. And it gives us a place to hang out and be amongst friendlies and not foes. And talk a little bit about a lot of things in the gun community, whether it's politics or just guns in general or whatever. But thank you to G-Webs and all that. It looks like Night Strike finally did go live. So go check out Hit or Miss. The YouTube channel is Night Strike 1. On the Gun Channel side, it is Hit or Miss. Thank you to all my panelists for coming on. I really do appreciate you. And as always, I really appreciate the crowd. Thank you for the engagement. Thank you for getting involved with these brackets. Some people may not like them, but I think it's kind of fun. And the ultimate thing is we're trying to help people decide on what gun might be good for them. As far as tonight, all 16 of those guns could be remarkable for a beginner, but the Smith & Wesson 686 revolver does win this particular bracket. So go check out that. Go check out all my guys on the panel's channels. Go check out everybody over in the chat. They've all got channels. If they've got content, go support them. Thank you, as always, for supporting Ghost Tactical and always watching, and I will see you soon. Oh, by the way, tomorrow marks the one-year anniversary of Ghost Tactical's very first video on YouTube. So I might have something tomorrow, a little shake-up with a live or a quick video or something. But tomorrow is my one-year anniversary on YouTube. Thank you for everybody for making this 1 year remarkable. I never thought I'd get one person watching, much less what I get. So thank you so much for everyone. And I love all of you guys, and we'll see you soon. Super fun.